You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's either 10 a.m. or 9 p.m. and it's time for Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that covers everything from an A thing to a Z thing.
Nailed it.
I'm Cody Pinnick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
And we're going to talk about all kinds of great nerd stuff, but first we're going to talk about the nerd stuff we've been partaking in this week.
Awesome. Excellent.
Winning.
Yeah. I'll go quick. I saw Goosebumps last week.
Oh, cool.
And it was good. It was really good. I mean, it was a really good family-friendly. You know, it was definitely more of an action movie. It wasn't really a horror, scary anything. No jump scares, nothing like that. Jack Black did an excellent job as R.L. Stine, although he put a weird, like, affected, like, accent on it. And it's hard to describe, but it made it seem kind of weird, but...
Maybe the real R.L. Stine talks like that? I don't know.
I don't think he does. Ohio. He's from Ohio.
Yeah. I know.
He's a local boy.
Yeah. But
went to OSU and everything.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, it was really good. Slappy's the main villain.
Nice.
He should be.
Yeah.
He's the most terrifying monster in Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also voiced by Jack Black.
Perfect.
Of course he is.
Oh, man, I really want to see it now.
Yeah. No, I really suggest going and seeing it.
I read reviews where people said it's actually not terrible.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, it's kind of nostalgia almost in the right way.
Yeah, it doesn't just pay homage to the old books. It, like, outright says, yes, I'm R.L. Stine, and I wrote all of these books that you read as a kid. And now the monsters are real.
I loved Goosebumps as a kid.
Oh, I did too.
Like, of course, everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Every kid in the 90s.
Yeah, and then no one graduated to the next line of series.
No.
No.
Nobody picked up those Fear Street.
I think we have, like, five or six of them on my bookshelf at home.
Yeah. But no, it was interesting sitting and watching it because Goosebumps, you know, as much as I love it, was like one section of my brain where I just kind of locked it away. It's like, okay, I'm done with that. And I did not realize I had read as many Goosebumps books and recognize as many of the stories as when the character would pop up on the screen. He'd go, oh man, I remember that book.
So it actually manages to nostalgia surprise.
Yeah.
That's the best kind of nostalgia.
Yeah.
When you don't realize that you remember it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Really cool.
It's so hard to find that anymore because everybody is milking nostalgia and you're constantly bombarded with it. But when something genuinely happens to bring on real, genuine nostalgia, that's really cool.
Yeah. It's the perfect amount of nostalgia, I think. The only downside I would say it has is the lead characters at the beginning is a real whiny kind of...
I just moved to a new town and no one here knows me and my dad died in the war, so I'm just going to be sad and be an asshole to everybody.
The war,
yeah.
Angst,
the war.
Angst,
yeah,
angst, just angst.
The Goosebumps War of 2012.
Yeah.
Stepped in some monster blood and he died.
Oh, monster blood.
Yeah.
I think one of the few Goosebumps books I didn't read was the ones with the gnomes.
I don't know.
That's a shame because they are prominent.
I know.
Early on in the movie.
I know. But I think I about covered all the other ones. And I used to watch the Goosebumps like series like a crap.
Oh yeah.
Ton.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be honest, I think some of the incidental music has at least a few chords of the old Goosebumps
dun,
show.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Some part of it did,
or
I think.
R.L.
Yeah.
Stine standing on a hilltop and his briefcase opens and all the pages of the book come flying out.
Yeah. Well, I mean it's pretty much that theme song kind of through the machine that is Danny Elfman.
Yeah. I do love Danny Elfman.
That's my Danny Elfman impression, apparently.
Tip your waitress.
Oh, man.
Did they at some point say anything in referencing to say either viewer beware or reader beware? You're in for a scare.
Oh, man. I think they reference. I think so. But I can't remember. I can't pinpoint it in like where in the movie they say it. But I'm pretty sure they say it somewhere. But really good. I would recommend it. Like I said, it's definitely family friendly. It's definitely, you know, a a family movie. It's not, you know, one of those like backdoor, you know, secretly for the adults that are in the audience watching it. There's nothing like that. But it's good. I would recommend it.
Did it give you goosebumps?
It did not, but
maybe nostalgia
goosebumps.
Oh my god! Did you ever see that rap video Jack Black did for the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Goosebumps gonna get you. Bumps gonna goose you.
Bumps gonna goose you. Yeah. What's that Kate West said about the main character?
It's just a loaf of white bread.
Yeah, Goosebumps starring a loaf of white bread.
Yeah. Well, she's not wrong.
She still really liked it though, but yeah.
Bumps gonna goose you.
Well, I have one other quick one, and it's actually an anti. Like recommend, like don't do this. About a year ago, I bought a game on the 3DS called Weapon Shop Omasi. It was a super like cheap deal. I was like, okay, I need something. This seems kind of interesting, and I thought it was an RPG. It's not. It's a rhythm game, where you are making weapons for other adventurers to go out and fight monsters. You don't actually fight anything. You just tap on glowing bricks to forge swords and spears and stuff. And, you know, the idea is not smart enough. I mean, it's interesting. And you can actually, it has like this weird, it's like called like the grindcast. It's like a Twitter feed, but with the adventurers, once they go out on their quests, you watch.
It tells you how they're doing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's jokey and stuff. And it's done by level 5, so I mean, it looks good. But,
It was one of the, they did like a series of games that were a bunch of prominent developers made small games.
Yeah, I think it's one of those.
From that.
Yeah. And there's only 7 songs in it. So you're playing the same 7 songs over and over. The skill, there's no real like incline in skill level. And once you, and I found myself at points having enough weapons and then just, but you can't progress the game. You just have to sit and let it wait for 20 minutes or a half hour while they complete quests so you can get back. And like I said, between not having a diverse enough, you know, amount of songs, the storyline, while funny, is not
funny enough.
It's not awesome. It's not great.
And plus it's drip feeding you it too.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, if you look at the clock, I mean, it said I spent 8 hours on it.
Wow.
But, I would say maybe there's 2.5 hours of actual gameplay in it. And, and the worst part is, they keep teasing once you beat the game with one, you know, with one adventurer, they keep saying, hey, you know, keep playing. You know, something crazy might happen if you beat him with all the adventurers. So I was like, okay, completion bonus. Great. So I spent the extra time and did that. And they had to beat the final boss one at a time. You couldn't have like multiple threads going like the rest of the game. So you get to the end and it says, congratulations. Here's infinite boss run. That's it. There's no, like, special anything. You don't unlock anything. It's just keep fighting the same bad guy over and over again forever. The end.
It reminds me of a Hometown Story, which is, like, it's like Harvest Moon, but you run an item shop. And I played it for about an hour, and I'm sitting there, and I'm stocking shelves and running a cash register, and I'm like, oh, no. This game is my job. I feel like I'm at work. And then I never played it again.
Yeah. Oh, man. But no, don't pick it up. Like I said, I bought it a year ago and tried it and put it down. And then over the weekend, I was like, I need to get this off my Game Boy. And I want to finish it because I don't want to, you know, lose out on that money. So, yeah, don't play it.
I played a game on my phone a while ago called Puzzle Forge 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same reference or kind of idea. You're a blacksmith making weapons for adventurers,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of it's a puzzle game.
Okay,
and you're like matching up blocks and stuff to make certain weapons.
Yeah,
and you put parts in like a certain order, and it makes different kinds of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get other things to make weapons better because the adventurers come and they want a certain weapon.
Right. That's very similar to what this game is. You know,
but it's not a rhythm game, so it's fun.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
It gets kind of hard though because like you start running out of inventory space for like completed weapons and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's like, and sometimes you run into problems on the board. Like when you progress far enough, there are like things that happen to the board. Like you have to wait.
Yeah.
Like heated metal blocks you can't use and stuff like that. But yeah, that's fun. and not a rhythm game.
Yeah. See, I got it thinking, okay, I thought that the rhythm game was like you create the weapons, then you go out
and fight
and play the game. I thought that was like a section of it. No, that's the entire game. And you're just tapping your stylus, and you have to tap on like different areas of the brick to make the weapons, like tap, tap, tap. That's it. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, if you're going to get one of those level 5 minigame things, get Liberation Maiden.
Yeah.
Which is the one Suda51 did, where you're an anime flying robot girl president of the United States.
That sounds pretty awesome. Yeah.
She's got my vote.
Okay, well, we watched a new show which just came on Hulu called Hellevator, and it's... Who... Did they make it, or was it that one guy?
It was a Blumhouse production. The people who do Paranormal Activities.
Keep going.
You just pushed it off to me.
Yep.
But it's a game show on GSN.
Okay.
For one. But it's also a horror game show. It's kind of like Scare Tactics where you win money.
Okay. Interesting.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. And, yeah, there's the titular elevator, and it goes up and down and drops off the... It's a group of people that go into the elevator, and they're a team. Mm-hmm. And each one by one have to do a challenge.
Well, there's 3 levels, and the first floor is the easiest, and it gets harder as you progress. And there's a labyrinth, which is the last one.
Yeah.
But
it's hosted by the Soska sisters, oh, okay. The Twisted Twins.
Okay, I like them.
Yeah, they directed American Mary, which is a great movie. Mm. And they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Just wry and, like, dry and evil. They mock the contestants and stuff and, like, actively want them to lose.
Oh, that's great.
But the first... I guess we've only seen the one because there's only one on Hulu, but it was pretty good. Like, what was the first challenge? Like, the guy had to ring bells that made a different tone, and he had to match the tone with a different casket.
Okay.
Someone had real people on the... Like, jumping out at them.
Or some of them just sprayed blood up at his face.
Oh, jeez.
Like
that scene in Dracula Dead and Loving It when they're staking the girl in the coffin. It's just continuously spraying blood.
The second one, like, this lady had to take organs, like, fake human organs,
mm-hmm.
and put them onto a scale till they weighed 15 pounds exactly, and then she would win.
Yeah.
But she had to go to one room to get the organs, and there's, like, half a guy laying there. It's, like, all cut open.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a real guy, so he's screaming.
Oh, jeez.
Like, she had to pull the organs out from underneath him.
Oh, wow.
And then put him on that scale. Well, the third one was like, the woman was getting, fake cremated, and she had to dig in these ashes for keys to unlock herself from the restraints she was in this furnace.
Oh, jeez.
There's, like, fire all around her.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
And she didn't make it. And they play it up like she died. Like, you never see her again for the rest of the show, even at the end.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome.
Did I just watch a murder? I'm not sure if I just watched a murder.
So there you go. If you want to watch a game show but wish game shows had more murder, there you go. It's a game show for you. No, I really liked it. It's funny and fun to watch in the same way that, like, Scare Tactics.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, it's like they make them go through, like, a haunted house before they get to the challenge, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
People jump out at them. And they
they got their heart rate going before the game even starts. That's great. That's smart.
One lady just straight up just fell on the floor. Just straight up freaked out and fell down. It was hilarious. At one point, something jumped out, and she literally jumped, like, 3 feet off the ground straight up, like a cat.
Oh, that's great.
One of the twins is like, she jumps high.
I heartily recommend it. We caught up on the Muppets. Well, not all the way, but we watched some of the new Muppets. It still continues to be really good.
For now, anyway.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. We got some Muppet news later. Did I talk about Yoshi's Woolly World on here?
Not on here.
I got that. I played that a little bit today, but I've made it about to the third world, maybe. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, it's your standard Yoshi game, you know, but you're throwing yarn instead of eggs. But it looks so good, and it's so cute, and they put so much into the look of it that it's rewarding just to see each level and what they've done with the yarn theme. And it's so deep into that theme. Like, nothing nothing looks like it couldn't have been crafted out of crafting materials.
Oh, wow. How would you compare it to, say, like Kirby's Epic Yarn or the clay one?
Well, the clay Kirby is weird because you don't have direct control in it. I think it's way better than Epic Yarn. I didn't like Epic Yarn. I'm the only one in the world, I think, that didn't like Epic Yarn because it didn't push back. You just kind of just walk right through it. And, like, I don't need a hard game, but I don't want a game that just lets me walk right through. Yeah. And Yoshi has a little bit of pushback, and the secrets are better hidden, I think. And I like there's unlockable other Yoshis when you collect the little Lots yarn balls.
Oh, yeah.
And that's cool to be able to unlock a new character skin mm-hmm. by finding these. It kind of gives you more reason to hunt the stuff yeah. down.
Now, the skin doesn't actually do anything in-game. It's just makes you look different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, that's what all the amiibos do, too.
Right, yeah.
And it works with just, like, about all of them.
Mm-hmm. I heard the only ones that it doesn't give you, like, specific one skins for are the Pokemon ones. They give you, yeah, just a Yoshi wearing a t-shirt that has the amiibo logo on it.
Yeah, that's what you get out of Chibi Robo, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I think Chibi Robo came out after that.
After, yeah.
It's that weird thing with the Pokemon company again.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just like how all the Pokemon in Mario Maker don't make sounds.
Yeah, that is weird.
But it's a great game if you like platformers or like yarn.
Oh. Well, there we
or
go.
Like yarn and platformers.
Platforming yarn.
Yeah. It fits the theme so much better than Kirby did. Like, it looks... Kirby just looked like a bunch of strings laying around. It didn't have any, like... I don't want to say real, because Yoshi doesn't look real, but...
Yeah.
It's just not as deep into the theme.
Hmm. Like, Yoshi looks like a bunch of, like stuff you could have bought on Etsy and somebody, like, animated it.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Kirby just looked like a bunch of magic strings floating around. And, like, the environments in Yoshi look like they could be built, too. Like, even the whole map screen is, like, laid out on a crafting table.
Yeah.
And there's, like, fabric laying around. And it's just really... Even the fire has, like, sequins in it that come up. it's just really good. I mean, sure, you're not going to be super challenged, but it pushes back enough to where you feel like you're doing something. Right. And it's just fun. It's kind of relaxing, kind of like Chibi Robo, but it's better than Chibi Robo.
Well, I had a slightly longer weekend because my plant had a down day, so I decided to make a day of my Sunday.
Okay.
And I went to...
Did you make a Sunday on your Sunday?
I wish.
Do you have a Sunday fun day?
I wish I had I did have a fun day, but I wish I had a Sunday. God, no, ice cream. You guys suck. You're making me fat. So I took my LARPing to a whole new level and actually traveled to a different place to do it.
Awesome.
So I went to Columbus and visited one of the more premier parks in my kingdom.
In my kingdom.
And, man, I had so much fun. There was like 30-plus people there.
Wow.
The park was really nice. It's like right on the river in Columbus. Also, my GPS took me like on this really scenic like kind of way. Like I skipped all the highways.
Cool.
I took just county roads and state roads and stuff there. Took me 55 minutes to get there. It was awesome.
That's excellent.
Yeah, just followed the river all the way. I went through Prospect, and I realized I've never been to Prospect.
Never been to Prospect?
Well, really?
Yeah, I've never been to Prospect.
Wow. I grew up in Prospect.
That's unfortunate. But anyway.
It used to be a lot better than it is now.
And we could say that about this whole area.
Yeah.
But that's more social than anything.
Yeah. That's not popping geek culture.
No, no, no. So anyway, back to my LARPing. So I get there, and I got there 2 hours before anybody from my group come.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had a tournament, and I kind of wanted to participate. And I... got a little cocky because I won my first fight.
Yeah?
It was downhill from there. Because I started fighting, you know, all the good fighters who tear me apart at my normal park. But yeah, this is fun. Some people are way into it.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, I watched this one dude in his little tournament fight. He accidentally took a face shot. Like, the very first swing, and he got, like, super legit mad.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he's, like, screaming at the other guy.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, I got to take a break. And he like walked away like out of the little fight circle. And I was like, oh man, is he going to be like this all day? But it was a little awkward for me because everybody like knows each other there. And we're like all like buddy and stuff. I'm just kind of standing there like, just waiting for something to do.
Yeah.
And I was on top of the fact that I got lost getting there. Like that, the park is designed, the park there was like designed really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like my Jeep.
What park was it?
Geiger or something like that.
Geiger counter. No. Park, the radioactive park.
Okay.
I don't know. It was like something like with a G. I've never been there.
HR Geiger Park.
Yeah, I know, right? There were aliens and phallic things everywhere. But anyway, I eventually found where I was supposed to be and did my tournament, lost, but that was fine. And then by that time, a lot of people started showing up and we started getting into like the war games and stuff.
Cool.
And then here comes this super tall ass dude, like in full plate. Like,
oh geez.
Like clanking across the field.
Excellent.
And he had like the biggest shield I've ever seen. Like I picked it up later, like after like he was done using it, and I was like, it was heavy. It was made of plywood.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
It was super heavy. But he's like, this clank clank. I'm like sitting there like, I want to be that guy. I'm like, and I was playing a warrior that day too, and I had armor on, but like nothing like that. Like I was wearing this vest that one of the guys from my group had made, and it's sewn within the vest are a bunch of wood or a bunch of metal washers, like down the front, down the back. And it was heavy. I sweated my butt off. Plus the weather was like freaking perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. It was a good day on Sunday.
It. Yeah.
And very first shot of the day, I took an arrow to the jaw.
Oh.
Yeah. It like, even though it's got a big foam head on it,
mm-hmm.
it's still a 35-pound bow.
Wow.
And it felt like getting sucker punched by somebody. Like, my jaw swelled up, and I was like, okay, that sucked. Just try not to let that happen again. That was probably the least of my worries for as far as my injuries went that day. But at one point, the big full plate guy, a wizard, had hit his sword with a spell ball and destroyed his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to put it down. And he's like sitting there like, got like four guys coming at him. And he's like, I need a weapon. I need a weapon. And I was like, I threw my weapon at him. And it like a freaking movie. It like the sail straight into his hand. And he just grabs it like he's freaking Thor. And just turns around and just starts weighing like way lace to everybody.
Nice.
Excellent.
It was so much fun. But then later on, we were playing a different game type, and I'm pretty sure I can't have kids anymore. Like, they had set up this rope maze, which is supposed to be like our cave that we were defending, and we had to keep the other team out of our cave. And we're sitting there, and there's like two entrances, I guess, and there's like a lot of fighting going on the other side, and I'm kind of like hanging out in the middle. And all of a sudden, I see a bunch of people coming through my side.
Mm-hmm.
So I run over there, and I yell over to the other group. I'm like, I'm all alone over here, and there's like a crap ton of people coming. And I'm standing there trying to hold my ground, and I'm like kind of like pushing back with my shield and hitting people. Whereas this guy with a spear, and he's like coming at me. He's got a spear in one hand and a sword in the other. And he's kind of like swinging, and I kind of push his sword away, and he stabs down with the spear. Right square into my junk. With like full force.
Oh.
I hit the ground like on my knees. And I'm like, oh God, I'm dead. Oh God, I'm dead. Please stop hitting me. I am dead. And this girl comes running up behind me. And she's like, ooh. Like, so I'm standing up and I'm like counting my respawn count. Because I was a skeleton, so I could respawn where I die instead of having to go back to a predetermined point.
Okay.
And I stand up, and I come back to life, and I go back to fighting, and I killed one guy, and some little girl goes running off away from me because she didn't want to get hit. And here comes Spear Guy again. It was like Groundhog Day for junk hits.
Oh, that guy was aiming for him.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, I understand I'm short, but jeez.
Wow.
It got to the point where, and then I fought this other girl, and she hit me in the junk with a sword. Like, I kind of like stammer off to the side.
LARPing sounds great.
If you're a chick.
Oof.
But yeah, it was rough.
Wow.
Like, it was, I was really sore for a while.
I bet. That's,
like, wow. I go off to the side, and one of the referees, like, hands me, like, a token to, like, turn in later.
I was going
to
say, like, an ice pack.
Yeah.
It was a healing spell. I don't know. Cleric!
Somebody heal my junk.
I cast level 5, walk it off.
But he hands me, like, a treasure token thing, and he's like, I'm sorry, that looks like it really hurts, but that was great. You did a great job.
Good job, buddy.
Good game.
The treasure token says participant.
Thanks for coming out. But no, all in all, the day was a lot of fun.
If you love genital trauma.
Yeah, I saw worse trauma in Hostel too. But no, it was seriously a really good time, and I really wish I could go back to that park more often. But it's Sunday afternoons,
At
2 p.m., and that's when I'm sleeping for work.
Right,
and just the pitfalls of working third shift, I guess.
Yeah,
but God, so much fun. I really, really hope I get another chance to play with those guys again, because it's just there was a lot of energy and a lot of fun, and just it was so many people, especially since the day before was the day for my group, 5 people showed up.
Really? Oh, oh wow.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit in the pride there.
Are you talking like physically? Yeah.
Yes. Yes and no. Yes. I got hit in the mummy daddy button, but also, yes, it hurt my feelings a little bit.
This has been the LARP Report.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, well, I'll have some news.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
That was Tegan and Sarah in the Lonely Island doing Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie, which is going to be stuck in your head all day now. You're welcome.
Yes, absolutely.
But that goes with, we've got some Lego Movie news for Lego Movie 2.
Yeah.
Which is coming, I think, like 2017.
Or yeah.
It's forever in the future.
Yeah.
But speaking of being able to travel forever in the future, Doctor Who has a great chance of showing up in that movie.
Awesome.
Apparently, Warner Brothers is in the talks with BBC to have Doctor Who in the movie.
I mean, makes sense. They are already working together with for the Lego Dimensions game.
Yeah.
And that game is like almost a side spinoff of the Lego movie.
It basically is, yeah.
Though I think the Batman is not quite that Batman.
No, it's not. There's two Batmen. Mm-hmm. There's two separate Batmans in that game.
So there's like Lego Movie Batman, and then there's like regular Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's Lego video game Batman and Lego movie Batman.
Oh.
And they meet each other pretty early on in the game.
And then there's Batman and Batman-flavored Batman. And
they could possibly, if they did like a Batman 66 pack, there could be a third Batman.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
I could see them doing that. I mean, they did Batman 66 level, a couple levels in the last Lego Batman.
Oh, that's right, they did, didn't they?
But the Doctor Who stuff that's in Lego Dimensions is fantastic. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they get it. Lego people get it.
Yeah. Now, if he's in the movie, it's going to be the Capaldi version?
Nobody knows, because it's so far in the future.
Ah, you know, true.
Who knows if Capaldi's even the Doctor then, although I don't see why he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
He's got a couple years left.
No. Oh, hey.
Not as the Doctor. He's not that old.
Oh, gosh.
And he seems to really like being the Doctor, so I have a feeling he's going to be around.
Well, yeah, it was like, he was a huge fan growing up. It was a big deal for him to become the Doctor.
Yeah, he was a total fanboy. He wrote letters that
he
should be in charge of the fan club and all this stuff. Like, there's a lot of funny clips of him talking about how much of a fan he was back in the day.
That's awesome.
I mean, I don't think at quite the level of David Tennant, where it was literally his life's dream to be the Doctor, which he succeeded immensely at.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm glad he might be in the Lego movie, too. I'm still interested to see what kind of plot they come up with.
Yeah, because, like, well, yeah, what is there left to do, really?
Yeah, unless they go with the Duplos plot, like, from
the alien invasion.
Yeah. But I don't know.
That seemed like more of a
Feel like Lego Dimensions was almost like the Lego movie, too.
It almost kind of is. Yeah. But I mean, like, when they've already broken the reality of the Lego world, like they did in the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, where do you go from there when there's two realities smashing into each other and it's a kid imagining everything, but the figure's really alive? And,
yeah, because
like,
he actually flip around on the table. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. Is it like, is this Indian in the cupboard? Is it Toy Story? I don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you start thinking about the Lego movie too hard, it starts to fall apart a little bit.
Fall apart? Like Legos?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the crazy glue is for.
The Craggle.
Yeah, the Craggle.
Man, that was a good movie.
It was. It's a great movie.
It should have won Best Animated that year.
It should have.
What did? Just whatever Pixar crapped out that year?
Yeah.
No, it was a French movie.
No, I think it was just whatever Pixar crapped out. Or no, it was Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, was a good movie, but it was nowhere near as good as Lego Movie.
Do you think that they lost the nomination because they had that live-action segment in Lego Movie?
No, I think they lost the nomination because the people that vote on that have no idea what they're doing.
Well, that too. Yeah, that too.
Tell us how you really feel, Cody.
Well, I read a lot of articles where they were talking to people who make those votes, and they all think that the animated movies are just to make kids shut up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, yeah. They just vote for whatever one that they saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so they don't know anything. At least the vast majority of them don't, and that's why we end up with Disney or Pixar winning every year.
Though I do really like Pixar.
Yeah. I think they've really fallen off a little bit lately.
They've fallen into that rut where they're just doing sequels.
Yeah.
Just a lot of sequels. Yeah. And
I mean, Inside Out was really good, but it wasn't incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't The Incredibles.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I hope it's not a crap sequel. Granted, yeah. Monsters University was, from what I've heard, pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't heard bad things about it.
Yeah, but it seems like John Lasseter is in the habit of there being a tubby pal that dies.
Yeah.
Like Big Hero 6 does that. Inside Out does that. Like,
spoilers.
Sorry. I mean, it's out on DVD now.
I mean, I think we're past the...
I didn't say what tubby guy. But, like, it's gotten pretty predictable. Like, there's somebody that's going to sacrifice themselves, and it's the one that's going to make you the most sad.
Oh, man, does that mean Mr. Incredible's going to kick it in Incredibles 2?
He's not tubby anymore. He worked out really, really hard, lifting trains and stuff.
There was a montage.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough.
No, they'll have a tubby uncle that comes to visit.
Mr. Unincredible.
Yeah. Mr. Credible.
Ron.
Uncle Ron.
Ron Credible.
Ron Credible.
God, okay.
Who has some weird superpower that seems useless. But he saves the day.
He's like Uncle Buck.
But he also dies. Yeah.
He's Uncle Buck for superheroes.
They've just gotten predictable, I guess is the point.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, they're kids' movies, though, too. So you can't really fault them too bad, but I don't know. Step up your game, Pixar. You're on notice. Yep. I'm putting them on notice.
Speaking of things that should be on notice, so we're actually getting a live-action Hugo Strange.
On Gotham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your guys' favorite show, Gotham.
Oh, the best show ever. A show that I would never say a single negative comment about ever. You know.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah. No, they're going to cast... they've cast B.D. Wong, who everyone would know as the scientist from Jurassic Park and its sideful Jurassic World.
Also, the psychologist from... Well, the Law and Order TV series.
That too, yeah. But no, they've cast him as a character named Dr. Hugo Strange. Now, he's not the magic Marvel Comics Dr. Strange. This guy is a psychologist who is the only person to deduce that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Not correct.
Well, he's the only one.
Uh-oh, shots fired.
Okay.
Bane.
Well, yeah, Bane.
Well, that was okay, boring. You know what?
And Tim Drake.
Hugo Strange was the first.
Okay.
Hugo Strange was the first. And he's the one that tried to, the first one that really tried to monopolize on his knowledge. And that, where Bane was like, I'm a big strong guy who's, you know, is smarter than Batman. Hugo Strange's whole deal was, I'm going to figure out who Batman is. And he did.
Honestly, it wouldn't be that hard if you just pay attention.
But yeah, and that's kind of was his reasoning in the comics was, yeah, now that he's like, now that I know, it makes perfect sense.
But I think everybody would have that. Like, I think Gordon would be like, duh.
Yeah. But no, there's actually a couple of really good episodes of the Batman animated series.
Yes, I remember those, where he's like in the brain machine.
Mm-hmm.
He's like reading his psyche or his dreams or something.
Yeah. Which mirrors a plot used in Batman 66 by Egghead. Yeah, it was a cliffhanger because he had hooked Bruce Wayne up to a machine.
I remember that.
Because he says, listen, you're the richest guy in town. Batman's got to have a bunch of gadgets. I think you're Batman. We're going to hook you up to this like brain reading machine.
I remember that.
And there was a cliffhanger. And when he comes back, it's, you know, Vincent Price goes, you know, that can't be. It's all pop culture. There's no way he could be Batman. And because Bruce Wayne had trained himself to clear his mind of everything but like commercial jingles and stuff.
To make him seem like an idiot.
To make him seem like an idiot. To protect himself from psychic attacks.
Because, you know.
Because Batman.
He's Batman.
Yeah. But no, it's good casting. I mean, why not? I mean,
I like B.D. Wong.
Yeah, I like B.D. Wong.
It's.
I'm sure Gotham's going to do something to it that makes him.
Dumb.
Well, I mean, you know, his major draw was finding out who Batman is. What's he going to do on a show?
Where there's no Batman
where
yet.
Where there's no Batman for him to figure out. I don't understand why he's there. He'll probably be at head of Arkham or something like that.
One day you'll be Batman. I figured it out.
Yeah.
What's Batman? Shut up, kid. You'll know.
Doesn't make sense now, but it will later.
Yeah.
Wait, he came from the future?
Yeah.
Either way, Gotham is dumb. I'm just, shots fired. I don't care.
Speaking of Dr. Strange.
Yeah, let's roll from one Dr. Strange to another. There's some on-set photos of...
the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
Sorta.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch as the Marvel Doctor Strange.
With a full beard.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, it's just weird. I'm so used to Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, looking like Benedict Cumberbatch. It's just awkward seeing him sporting a full, you know, face rug.
Well, he's got to have that goatee at some point.
Yeah. Like I said, he's like in street clothes walking through like a street market. So I'm assuming at some point before he really becomes like the Doctor Strange.
Well, like every superhero movie, the first one's going to be an origin story. Yeah. So.
And there'll be a solid hour and a half before anything cool happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be like a montage of him learning magic tricks. No, I'm serious. It'll probably be there.
Is this your card?
Him eating a lot of Supreme tacos.
Yeah.
Poked in the eye of Agamotto.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's going to be a good movie.
It's very early. Of course it'll be a good movie. Benedict Cumberbatch is a fantastic actor, and it's a Marvel movie. Plus, we're going to have magic.
Yeah.
It'll be at least as good as the other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's very early. I mean...
It didn't come out to what,
2017.
Yeah.
Yep.
All this stuff so far in the future.
I know.
They shouldn't even tell us.
Yeah.
If it's going to be that far away,
they don't want to tell us. They don't want to tell us. It's people, you know, snapping pics and data mining.
Man,
and
that kind of drives me nuts, you know?
I know. That's why I've been really happy with, like, the Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've released a handful of trailers and really have no idea what the exact plot of the movie is going
to
be.
Everything we've seen for Star Wars is what they want us to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's essentially it's a line of, see these characters? Now buy these toys. That's pretty much it.
So far, all the trailers have been 2-minute toy commercials.
Yeah. here's your bad guy. Here's your stormtroopers. Here's your heroes. Boom. Go play.
Yeah. Make your own story.
Exactly.
Make your own damn story. Well, speaking of data mining, didn't they data mine a bunch of Street Fighter characters?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Street Fighter is going to be coming out in February. It's either February or March next year.
It's pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's March. And they're going to have, 16 characters, and they've decided that they're going to start rolling out for over 2016, six DLC characters, and they're all going to be like previously known characters. And the beta has been out on PlayStation 4 for a while, but they finally rolled it out for PC users, for people who pre-order the game. And whenever there's a PC game, people go into the files and hack it up and try
find all the
and
secrets.
Find everything. And they found 6 slots for the DLC characters. I think it's going to be like a season pass kind of thing where you buy it and for the year they bring out all these characters. And you know, I can roll through the names, but you know, it's really they're old characters. Like some of them came from Third Strike, like Alex, who was supposed to be the replacement lead character, starting with Third Strike. He was supposed to replace
Kendrick.
Yeah, but he was a grappler. Huh. Yeah, he was a wrestler type character. He's like Zangief, but because they wanted to try to de-emphasize the main cast from Street Fighter 2. They have characters like that. They have one returning from Street Fighter 4, Jury, which is cool. I like the character.
Guile was one of them.
Which I think is kind of lame because you already have Nash,
yeah,
who is basically Guile but better.
He doesn't have that theme, though.
He doesn't. That's true.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait, that's John Cena.
Oh, God. You almost made me do it.
Aren't they kind of the same?
Kind of. A little bit.
Guile.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I mean, like the Marine.
Yeah.
You know.
The super hardcore Marine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though I thought Guile was Air Force,
But, I mean, it's military.
Yeah. But no, the other characters are Balrog, who is the boxer who's been in it since Street Fighter 2. Ibuki, who's a ninja, who I think she popped up. I think she was a Third Strike character, now that I think about it. And Yurian, who is the main boss of Third Strike, which is interesting.
It's cool that they're pulling all these people from Third Strike, which is... I've never played it before.
You never played Third Strike?
Yeah.
Probably one of the best ones of the bunch.
Hmm.
I've played a little bit of Third Strike.
Is that the one with Skullamania?
No, that's... we're never going to see Skullamania in another game, unfortunately. They tried to make 3D Street Fighter games, and they Capcom licensed out a different company to do that. So they added...
It was a bad idea.
It was like the Street Fighter EX, I think was what those were. And they created a bunch of original characters for those games and also licensed out, you know, Ken, Ryu, and, you know, a couple others.
The important ones.
And did a couple of games of those, and then those companies, Capcom and whatever other company, split ways. And they actually did a fighting game of just the EX characters.
Huh.
But we're never going to see characters like Skullamania and Cracker Jack and, you know, some of those others.
I think I did play that game.
Yeah. Well, it was a PS1 exclusive way, way back when.
Yeah.
But Skullamania rules.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Skeleton Man.
Yeah. No, he's really great. His character bio is pretty great. He was a salaryman who bought a Halloween costume and stopped a robbery and decided, hey, I can be a superhero. He, like, left his wife and his child at home and became Skullamania.
He did not go home to be a family man.
He did not. No. But no, it's, you know, Street Fighter's looking good. Did you see the trailer for Dalsim?
No.
Yeah. Full beard and a turban. Like, they've updated his look just a little bit.
He looks more like a Sikh.
A little bit, yeah. And, it looks great. They changed his moveset just enough. Like his one of his EX moves, he's always been spitting fire and stuff, and it's always been like fireballs
yoga
or
flame.
Yoga flame. He actually spits it on the ground and leaves like a little trap area where for like a few seconds where the opponent walks into it, they will take continuing damage from the flames that they're walking
on. I'll tell you,
on.
His fire move back in like 2 was like devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as you hit it, you're engulfed in flames, and you're doing that flying back animation, and you just can't get out of it.
Yeah, and they changed his fireball, too. You know, instead of just shooting straight across, you have one that shoots straight across, and then he, like, one attack, he spits it up and it like arcs through the air.
Oh, nice.
So it's like an anti-air attack, which is cool, which is something he really needed. I'm excited for it.
He's still stretchy, right?
He's still very stretchy, yes. I'm excited for it. You know, I love Street Fighter. Yeah, I love
it is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so
I'm excited for like the blend of like the new looks of old characters and the new characters themselves.
Yes, yeah. And I guess there is one more new character that they're going to announce, and he's probably going to be the boss.
Okay.
The character's name is Fan, and it's an old man.
Fan? He's the fanboy of Street Fighter?
Yeah, he's the ultimate Street Fighter fanboy. Hey, they put me in the game! Yeah.
The final boss should be a Honda.
A Honda.
A Honda?
just a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, my car!
Did you know that the sequel to Street Fighter was originally going to be Final Fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Cody... the character
is in the opening
of Street Fighter 2. Yeah.
Do we want to go from... Let's go from Street Fighter to Star Trek.
Yeah, let's do it.
Boldly going where no podcast has gone before.
Or every podcast has gone before, let's be honest. Yeah, they're doing a new Star Trek TV series.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's about time for more.
Yeah.
Basically, what they're saying so far is... The new Trek series, it's going to come out like 2017.
Everything's in 2017.
I know, right?
Yeah. Swear.
And it has the writers behind the last two movies.
So it's set in the new universe.
We don't know.
I would guess. They wouldn't set up that universe and not leverage it for television.
Right.
But they've said we're getting all new characters. And so it's like, so we're probably not following Kirk and Spock since they're in the movies.
Captain Turk and Spork.
Mr. Spork, his half alien friend.
Yeah.
On the Starship Enterprise.
The thing I'm interested, that's most interesting to me, is it's going to be video on demand. It's going to be on their CBS app, right?
Yeah, like the first episode is going to be a TV movie.
Okay.
On TV, and then after that, you got to watch the rest of it on CBS's pay-for streaming service.
Yeah, I love Star Trek. I don't know if I want to spend $6 just for
an app,
just for new Trek.
You know, I think I would. I'd pay $6 a month for a new Trek.
Really?
Yeah.
I do love Trek.
Now, I will say, I think they've added all the old episodes of all the previous seasons or series.
Yeah, you'd get all the Trek for $6.
Okay.
Though you get all the Trek on Netflix, too.
Hey, I already own the original, the TOS. I'm good.
Also, the CBS.com version doesn't have the remastered special effects.
Oh, it doesn't? Well, good. I like the original effects. I mean, I'm like in the minority, I think, but I enjoy those.
I think I'm kind of either.
It's still a good show either way.
It's a very good show either way.
It's not about the special effects.
It's not, but I love the cheesiness. Oh, yeah. The cheese factor, for sure.
Oh, man. That one episode, I think it's more like the first one or the second episode or something of the original series where the guy gets the weird superpowers and he has his eyes look weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
Is the character name. Yeah. You know why he like tilted his head back and looked all creepy when he was doing that?
That was the only way to see through the pinholes in the
contacts. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he couldn't see through the contacts, so he had to like tilt his head back and look down.
And they really liked the arrogant look it gave him.
Yes.
Of like looking down his nose at them.
Yes. You know, at one point, that was they hinted that might have been one of the plots of what ended up being Into Darkness. They thought it was going to be a Gary Marshall. They thought that's what they cast.
Khan was going to be?
Yeah, they thought
Benedict Cumberbatch
was going to be Gary Marshall. Which I think would have probably made for a better movie.
And then they pooped it out and said, it's Khan, and this is basically a rebooted Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
I still like that movie.
I still like it, and I want to watch, what's the new one called? We're going to be called Beyond...
More Darkness.
More...
Beyond Good and Evil.
It's Beyond, Star Trek.
I think it's just called Beyond, actually, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. It had a dumb title.
Infinity to Infinity and Beyond.
But no, new. It's exciting the fact that we're getting a new Star Trek series.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since we had one.
As much as I love the movies, I think it works better on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of people...
It always does work better on TV.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I really liked Star Trek Generations and First Contact.
Oh, what about The Voyage Home? Where they save those whales? Go back to 1988.
I kind of like that movie.
That's a great movie.
It's so stupid.
It's so great.
I kind of like that movie. Wrath-a-Con, I mean, Wrath-a-Con is amazing. Yeah.
It almost had Eddie Murphy in it. Yeah, the Kirk's love interest from 1988 that he brings
was going to be Eddie Murphy.
Was going to be Eddie Murphy, and he wasn't going to be a love interest. He was just going to be some wacky whale watcher that accidentally got brought into the future. See, I'm not joking.
I know you're not joking.
That's a real thing.
But it's funnier just to think of Eddie Murphy as Captain Kirk's love interest.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. Scotty talking into that mouse of that computer really brings the whole movie, you know, together.
Computer.
great movie. Oh, Star Trek.
Let's see what else we got. I've written Muppets down here on the board. I forget why.
Oh, yeah. It's because the showrunner for the Muppets is going to be stepping down. And the, let me pull up the article here so I can sound semi-intelligent on this. Bob Cushell, the co-creator and executive producer for the Muppets, is stepping down. And, one of the people behind Gallivant, Kristen Newman, is in talks to take over the position, which is great.
Yeah, I think somebody from Gallivant, which is a fantastic show, would be a great fit for the Muppets.
I think it would, too. Here's the weird twist. They're also saying that after episode 10 this season, it's going to go on an extended hiatus and come back soft rebooted. So everything's going to change.
Softly. I can see why, though, because I think the current status quo for the show is it won't hold up that long.
Yeah.
We can't see Piggy and Kermit bickering forever. I think it'd get old pretty about halfway through the second season. You'd be sick of it if you're not already.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this a sign that maybe the Muppets just don't work like they used to?
No, because I still think it's a good show. I still like the show.
Well, I mean, I like the show, too, but the fact that they're, you know, not even... You know, usually a half season's 13 episodes. They're going to soft reboot it after not even halfway into the first season. It's kind of...
They did order 3 more episodes, too.
Yeah. But I don't know. It just
seems weird.
Well,
it says soft reboot, so I don't think it'll be that different.
Yeah. Maybe they'll switch it from the Miss Piggy show to, like, they're doing a Muppets-style show and...
Yeah.
Like, tone back the cynicism a tiny bit, maybe.
I don't know. That's what I could see him doing that, because it is a little too cynical for the Muppets.
Yeah.
I think that's been the main complaint about it.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like about the last episode they had, there wasn't a heavy Fozzie B-plot like every other episode.
But I love the heavy Fozzie B-plot.
I love Fozzie. I really do, but it was nice to have a break from Fozzie.
Fozzie's been the heart of every episode I've seen.
Like, yeah.
He's my favorite Muppet.
Have you watched the one where he's doing stand-up and he's making fun of his girlfriend?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But no, I'm interested to see how this turns out.
They could do a Fozzie spinoff. I'd watch that.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, and that would probably end up like Joey. In the garbage.
Yeah.
Aww. No, Fozzie hits the road doing, you know, doing stand-up. In a Studebaker. Yeah, doing his natural habitat.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, he takes, like, Gonzo with him or something.
Yeah. Oh, my God. In the episode where he's making fun of his girlfriend, he's, and she's telling, like, all his coworkers, like, his weird little quirks. Like, when after he gets out of the shower, he shakes off the water. And he looks at Bobo, and he's like, you shake off, right? And he's like, I have a sociology degree. I use a towel.
When they sing True Colors.
Yeah.
It makes Fozzie cry every time he hears it. And they all just start singing that song.
Yeah. Oh, and then, like, one of the band members is playing it on the sax.
Yeah,
and
he goes, dude.
He's like, it's hauntingly beautiful on the sax.
Oh, that's awesome.
What was the one where... Was that the same one where... No. Fozzie accidentally shoots Statler in the face with a t-shirt cannon?
Oh, yeah. That's a couple episodes ago. Yeah.
That was a good one. Yep. What was the other plot in that one? Is that the one where they do karaoke with Piggy? See, Kermit kind of took a jerky turn in that one that I didn't like. Where he tricks it, convinces Piggy to stop having them all hang out so they can do the show right.
Well, she kept the whole crew up
all
night, and it was hurting the show.
But it made Kermit seem like a real jerk.
Yeah, because he manipulated the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he manipulates people a few times in that. Because then he manipulates Piggy into... it's hurting her star status or something.
Yeah. Which Kermit's not a manipulator.
Yeah, that, and you know, that might be what they end up switching out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think we got to go ahead and wrap it up here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
The unofficial Muppet Show podcast.
Yeah, it seems like it.
You can pop us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can tweet us at @nerd_overload.
Yeah, that's it.
Apparently.
All right. Well, hey, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.